Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence and just to hear the Christmas story. The one that my dad would pull out and read at Christmas. And I'm tonight honoring all those that have gone before us, Lord, that have taught us the truth of what Christmas really is about. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that this story is more than a story. It's your story. It's your history. And it's our story. And I pray that tonight something fresh would be seen in it. Something that we can take away from this that would inspire us to live more full out for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to do something very sentimental and precious to me. I'm going to do what my daddy did on Christmas. He would sit us down and have us sit down and listen. And he would always begin, because he was a theologian and a scholar, and he would say, "Now, this baby that was born wasn't just anybody. Men of old, for thousands of years before he ever showed up on the planet, they talked about this baby that would be born of a virgin. And there's only been one baby that was born of a virgin. And he taught us as a young child what that meant. This was a woman that had never had a husband, never been with a man, and to make a baby. And Daddy was very, very pure in the way he presented that. But he said, the fact that this baby was born of a virgin and that God himself, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed her and that she became pregnant without ever being married is the miracle. And it's also the fulfillment of a prophecy, because that just can't scientifically happen. And so this Jesus, who had been prophesied by all of these people years before he showed up on the planet, he comes to the earth. And he comes into the womb of a young girl. She becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And his whole purpose for coming was to be the Savior. To be the Savior of the world. And so he would begin to read in Luke 2 about the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth. Now Joseph was Mary's fiancé, betrothed to marry her. And in those days, if you got pregnant out of wedlock, you were shamed. You were not treated well. But Joseph, he was scared. He was scared to take her because of the shame and all the public humiliation that would come to them as a couple. But he decided to take her and marry her because the angel of the Lord said, "No, this is of God. She's not running around cheating on you. This is the Lord. And you're to take her and you're to protect her because what she's carrying is holy. And it's from heaven. He's from heaven." And so you got to understand that, because, you know, Jesus, it was prophesied of him that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be born in the city of David. So interestingly enough, here's this demand or a requirement by a census for them to leave their hometown and to go to Bethlehem. Fulfillment of prophecy, because Jesus couldn't just be born anywhere. He had to be born exactly where the prophet said that he would be born. So even this uncomfortable transition that Mary had to make at 9 months to go leave the town they lived in and go to Bethlehem was the fulfillment of a prophecy. And I don't have time to walk you through all of these prior prophecies, but Daddy would teach me, and he would have me go back and look up all of these things and say, now see, here, if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, then he would have just been born in the town of Galilee. But they had to leave Galilee, and they had to go under duress to the city of Bethlehem, because it had been prophesied by Isaiah and others that in the city of David a Savior would be born. And so the wise men who knew the scriptures and were studying the prophecies of old, they were watching, and they had been watching for many, many years. And I'm sure many of them expired and died and never saw the fulfillment of the Lord's coming. But there was this expectation, and they were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were watching. And it was at this time that these other wise men who came to see Jesus, you know, had this, I'm sure the scriptures open, and they were waiting for the birth of this child. There was a lot of expectation here. So they left Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger or cloths, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David," and the angels are very specific, "a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Listen to that. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Deliverer of all mankind. Angels announced his birth, and they declared that it's in this place, in the town of David, exactly where God has been speaking to the prophets all along. He's been born this day, and he's a Savior. Now, the angel of the Lord that came to Mary said, "You're to name him Jesus." And I'm going to look at that name Jesus in just a moment, because Jesus isn't just any name. The angels declare he's a Savior, and they declare that he's the Messiah. And that, do you know that today, the saddest thing that is happening is that in Israel, there are Jewish people of the same bloodline as Jesus who do not believe that the Messiah has come. And they're waiting for the Messiah. And you know who is going to present himself as the Messiah? The Antichrist. And we are this close to the presentation of that false Christ. The angels announced the birth of Jesus, the true Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Savior of the world. And even the fact that she wrapped the baby in cloths and laid him in a manger is also a prophecy, that you will find a baby in swaddling clothes in the city of David, born to a virgin. Think about that. So specific was God's word to them. And they should have been watching, and they should have been waiting, and they should have been so excited. But on a dark night, amid horrific pressure and opposition, a baby was born, a Savior. In a time when God's people were under such great duress. And you know, I want to say this. He always comes. He always comes when it's dark in your life. He's here in the light. He's here on the mountaintops. He's here in the valleys. But God has a way of showing up in the most hopeless hour of our lives. And he's not just a teacher and just a prophet and one of the prophets and one of the greats. He's all those things, but he is the great one. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Redeemer. He is the hope of Israel. He is the hope of the United States of America. He is the hope that we have to hold on to. And boy, never in the history of the world, aside from the time when he came on the scene and when he lived his life, have we ever needed to recognize Jesus as more than a baby in a manger, one who fulfilled prophecy, but the one who lived, who walked, who did miracles, who died to save us, who wiped our sins away, and who is coming again. Never in the history of mankind has there ever been a time when people need to repent of their sins and recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world. The only one that can bring peace. The angels announced him and said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. The name Jesus means Yeshua. That's the Hebrew name. It means to deliver, to rescue. It means the Lord is salvation or Savior. So every time people said, "Hi, Jesus," they were saying, "Hi, Deliverer. Hi, Rescuer. Hi, the Lord is salvation or Savior." You know, there's so many people that say they take the Lord's name in vain, but they've never received him as Savior. You got to understand, we should never say, "Oh, Jesus," like that. No, no, no. If you're going to say it, at least understand what you're saying. You're saying, "Oh, Savior. Oh, Redeemer. Oh, Rescuer. Oh, Salvation. He's precious. His name identifies his purpose. It identifies who he is." And Jesus came on the scene and he made no bones about who he was. In fact, he confronted people all the time about where their soul would spend eternity. And I talked about this on Sunday. Jesus knew he was the Savior. Can you imagine? He knew before he ever stepped foot on the earth that he would be named Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, Rescuer. He walked around even as a little boy. People say, "Oh, hi, Jesus." "That's right, I'm the Deliverer. That's right, I'm the Redeemer. I'm the Savior." But they never recognized him. The Bible says when he looked over Jerusalem one day, he began to weep. Our Savior wept. He cried because they didn't know him. We have a whole generation that say his name and they don't know him. They don't know him. His own people, he stood over the city and he said, "Oh," he's crying, "Oh, how I would have taken you in to my heart as a mother doth her hen, or a mother hen doth her chick. But you would not recognize me. You would not have me." Have you so wanted to love people before, to take them into your heart, they wouldn't have anything to do with you? Yeah, somebody said. It's such a great pain. And Jesus finally began to say things like this in Mark 8:36. He said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains a whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" He started to confront people that said, "I don't have time for your message, Jesus, Redeemer, Savior, Rescuer. I don't need nobody to rescue me. I got my money. I got my 401k. I got my house. I got my stuff. I got my job." Jesus goes on and he begins to confront. And he's telling them something. "Look, you can get all that. You can get every gift you've ever wanted. You can be a good boy or girl on Santa's list and get all the good things that you dreamed of, but you can't get your soul. You cannot get your soul out of the grip of the enemy without me. Yeah? So Jesus, the Savior of the world, said there's no amount of money or material goods in this world that can be given in exchange for a man's soul to be saved and have eternal life. And because of Adam and Eve's sin, we're all sinners. We're all born into sin. The Word of God says even our own conscience condemns us. It's not God that condemns us. We're born with a sin consciousness. You know what I'm talking about. When you lie, you know you didn't do right. There's something inside of us that God put inside of us to recognize that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard of perfection. And he's not beating us up, but he's saying, listen, everybody needs a savior because the wages of sin, and in Romans, Paul said this, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, that is his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In Christ Jesus. Amen. And this is the simple gospel. Daddy took me, and every year he would say, this is why, Vernie. This is why. Why would he leave the splendor of heaven where everything's peaceful and beautiful and remarkable and there's no drama and there's no chaos and there's no oppression and there's no pain and there's no death and there's no sorrow? There's none of that. Why would he immerse himself in all of this? Why? Who would do that? Because he created us. We're his most prized possession. And the only way that he could rescue us, the only way he could redeem us, the only way that that wage, that the penalty of sin could be paid, was if there was a spotless, sinless blood sacrifice. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no remission of sins. So all through the Word of God, what we would see is that there would be a sacrifice, the most spotless lamb they could find. Israel's sins would be wiped out for a year or whatever. And then after a year would have to be redone. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats and animals was not enough. And Jesus said, look, I cannot let them go on like this. I've got to come down there once and for all, live a sinless life as a man. A man got him into all this trouble. And it's got to be a perfect man that gets him out. And so I'll go down there and I'll do the job and I will suffer. I will pay the debt. Which is death. That's why we call him the sacrificial lamb of God. That's why we sing about him being the lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean, before the foundation of the world? There was already a plan for him to be slain in the event that mankind blew this whole thing apart. He already had made a decision to make the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so this baby isn't just any baby. There was a plan long beforehand. To come and rescue us. To name him Jesus, Redeemer, Rescuer, Savior. Right? I mean, that ought to make you fall in love with him. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift, the remarkable, overwhelming gift of God's grace to believers is eternal life. It's a free gift. It's a remarkable gift. We cannot do it without him. So without one small drop of sinless blood, the blood of Jesus, and receiving the gift of eternal life by faith, man will never be able to work his way into heaven where eternal riches await him. All his earthly riches will someday be gone and go to someone else. He can't take it with him. You cannot take it with you. And there are people today that their lives are crumbling. Why? Because economically we're seeing systems shaken right now. And you think they would be crying out to Jesus. But they're mad. They're mad at God. They're mad because their stuff is lost. They're mad because, you know, they don't have the pleasure of wealth and all of the things that they used to have. Let me tell you something. There's pleasure that awaits believers in the presence of the Lord that far outweighs anything this world could ever offer you. And it is found in Christ alone. God was willing to give us his only son, and that is remarkable. The Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, was born into this world to become a sacrificial lamb that would one day die on a cross to give man eternal life, eternal riches, eternal joy, eternal peace. Even on the night of his birth, the angels declared this truth. And there are so many people that are striving to earn more money, to have security and peace, but they will forever be up to their eyeballs in debt and eternally bankrupt without Jesus. And that's the truth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with prospering. I believe in it, but it can never be a means to salvation, only the result of it. Amen. So let's share the good news. And this is a very short message. It's a simple message. Daddy took me every year and he would sit me down and he taught me these scriptures. I'm so glad he did. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, you know, John 3:16. He said, Vernie, it's not hard. The gospel in a nutshell is this. We've all sinned. Man has a problem. It's called sin. The penalty for sin is death. Not only natural death, but there's a second death. The Bible talks about a second death, and it's eternal death. That's why Jesus said, you know, those who believe in me will have eternal life. There's eternal life and there's eternal death. What is eternal death? It's to be separated from heaven and from God and from glory for eternity. Eternity is a long time. It never ends. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, you won't experience eternal death. I came to resolve that problem. There is a sin problem. There is a debt problem. Any of you ever been in debt? Seems like you can never pay it off. Well, there is a debt. You will never, ever, ever, for all of eternity, ever be able to pay. There's no amount of money. You could dig it all up, all the gold in the earth, every resource, every mineral. You could take every dollar out of every multi-billionaire's bank account, pile it all up in your lap, and bring it to Jesus on the day of judgment and say, here is how I'm going to pay my debt. And he will say, it's not enough. Give me one drop of the blood of my son, my sinless son. That's all that you can pay this with. And you didn't pay for it. He gave it to you. And if you haven't received him as Lord and Savior, I mean really, really, not just going to church and just, you know, being around religious stuff. You need to receive Christ. You need to receive him. You need to not just see a nativity scene and say, oh, that's nice. That's about Jesus and Christmas and all that. No, 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 no. That nativity scene represents the greatest gift that will ever be given here, now, and for all of eternity. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in Jerusalem, in the city of David, for you, for me. And that blood cries out. That blood cries out for eternity. He saves. He loves. He gave man every opportunity for the time that they lived to know him. And he is the Lamb of God that is worthy for all of eternity. And I'm asking you today, do you know him? And if you do, do you know how to lead someone else into a relationship with him? Because time is ticking. Time is ticking. And God is counting on us. Bride of Christ, you may be as saved as Billy Graham or Pastor Verna Brown tonight. It doesn't matter who you're as saved as, but you need to be as saved as you can be in Jesus' name. And it's not about working. It is not about striving. It is not about trying to be good. It is not about how many spiritual disciplines that you can conjure up in your lifetime. It is about bowing at the cross and the feet of Jesus and saying, God, I receive you. I receive everything that you died to give me, and I'm grateful, and I'm going to tell everybody I can that there is a way out of the hell that they're living in now and for eternity. Hopefully they will never have to live in it. There is a way out, and his name is Jesus, the Savior of the world. Whew. Woo, I feel his presence. I love him. God, we love you and we thank you. And it is high time for your people to have an ache in their heart for those that are slipping off. Every day I see the news. The hospitals, Lord, are filled right now to capacity. People cannot even get into an ICU and lives are hanging in the balance. Families are they're stressed out and they're suffering because they want to get to go and say goodbye to their family members. And many of them will say goodbye, not knowing where they're going. Not knowing where they're going to spend eternity. And thank God for the ones that have the assurance that their loved ones have received you. And tonight, Lord, as we end this service, worship team, you can join me. I'm all stirred up, family. I began my life with Jesus as a little girl. My daddy led me to the Lord and he taught me how to tell other people about Jesus. And I remember being mocked on my school playground because I was carrying around a little Gideon Bible with me. I had my scriptures all highlighted. And anybody that would listen to me, I'd tell them about Jesus. And they told me, we don't want you to play with us anymore. You wear dresses and you talk funny. And it hurt my feelings. Because I was different. I spent way too many years trying to fit in with a bunch of people that reject Jesus. That don't want nothing to do with him. It took me a lot of years to get out of that. And I don't care about fitting in. I already fit in. God has fitted me into the family of God. He has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has sealed me to the day of redemption. He has restored every broken thing in my life. He has given me a friendship with his son, Jesus Christ, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And as I've walked through the dark night of the soul this year, this has been the most difficult year of my life. He's been the best friend. He's been the friend that has comforted me. He's been the friend that has strengthened me. He has been the one that has kept me through every dark night, through every sad day. And I'm standing here today, clothed in white, to represent the fact that Jesus has clothed me in robes of righteousness. He has put me in his presence. He has crowned me with glory. He has written my name up there in heaven. Heaven knows my name. Heaven knows I'm talking about Jesus. Heaven knows I'm living for him. Heaven knows I'm singing for him. To live, I live to worship him. And I want to challenge you in this hour. Give your life to Jesus. If you haven't done so, do so tonight. And if you've never led anybody to the Lord, make it your life goal that this year you're going to tell as many people about him as you possibly can. Because it's time to put some stars. It's time to put some jewels in the crown that you're going to carry to his feet on the day that you see him. Will you do it with me, church? Will you do it with me? Stand to your feet tonight. Raise your hand up as high as you can in the air. And let's say this together. We don't know who's watching. Say, Jesus, you save. That's who you are. And I receive you as my Savior. I thank you for saving my soul. Turn me into a soul winner. Merry Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Get out there and win some people to the Lord.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.